Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. Dear Jesus, our living, blessed Redeemer, we pray that you would be with us today as we gather to hear your word. Grant us sincere repentance from all our sins and move us to live our lives in loving service to you and in joyous anticipation of your return. In your saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and have deserved only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray. Have mercy upon me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of His Son, Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. Through faith in Jesus, which was created in you by the Holy Spirit, you are now His own dear child. May God give us the strength to live according to His will. Amen.
Glory to God.
We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, by the resurrection of your Son, Jesus, you have raised up the fallen world. We pray that you would give to us, your children, faithfulness and perpetual gladness. And to us whom you have delivered from the danger of everlasting death, give the joys of everlasting life. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first reading for this morning is from Acts chapter 4. We read verses 1 through 12. This reading from Acts takes place after Peter healed a crippled beggar, and he and his and John were taken before some of the same men who called for Jesus' crucifixion, some of the same Jewish leaders. Notice how they are thrown or taken before this court because they were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you know something about the apostles before Jesus' resurrection, they probably would have just cowered in fear and not spoken up. But they're taken before these Jewish religious leaders, and Peter speaks very boldly about Jesus' resurrection. A good example for us to follow as well. Acts chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. As Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests, the commander of the temple guard, and the Sadducees approached them. They were very upset because Peter and John were teaching the people and proclaiming the resurrection from the dead in connection with Jesus. They arrested them and put them in jail until the next day because it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men increased to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the experts in the law assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and all of the rest of the high priest's family. After they made Peter and John stand in front of them, they began to question them. By what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we are being questioned today for a kind act that was done for the lame man as to how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that it was by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By him this man stands before you healed. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Our second reading for today is from the Gospel of Luke. We read from chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. This reading from the Gospel of Luke is from Easter Sunday evening. Our sermon text will be the verses that follow this Gospel reading. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. But they were terrified and frightened and thought they were looking at a ghost. He said to them, Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While they still did not believe because of their joy, and while they were still wondering, he said to them, Do you have anything here to eat? And he says this to show that he's not a spirit. He is living, has a body. I'm going to eat something in front of you to prove it. They gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. He took it and ate it in front of them. Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed, beginning on the bottom of page 5. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, The Strife is O'er, the Battle Done. Just a note about this hymn, we begin by singing the refrain, as you see it at the top of the music, and then the last verse, after that verse is finished, we sing the refrain one more time. We don't sing the refrain between each verse, just right before the first verse and after the last verse. Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who meets with us in his word, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is once again taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. This time we read verses 44 through 48, the continuation of our Gospel reading, which again took place on Easter Sunday evening when Jesus appeared to his disciples. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. He said to them, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Are we really still doing Easter stuff, Pastor? Don't you know that was 2 weeks ago? This reading is literally from Easter Sunday night. Why are we still talking about Easter? Why are we still singing Easter hymns? Did you notice that first hymn said Jesus Christ is risen today? It's not Easter anymore. Well, I'm glad you asked. Technically, you didn't ask. I wrote the question myself. I'm the one who wrote the introduction. I'm the one who's preaching. But maybe you were thinking or wondering the same thing. Why are we still talking about and singing about Easter? Well, I'll start with a partial answer, and one of the answers is because our congregation does what the Lutheran Church has traditionally done, and that it follows a church calendar. The church calendar follows along with some of the important teachings and events in Jesus' life. It highlights some of the things that he did and taught. And Easter, of course, is one of those very important church festivals, and its season is traditionally celebrated by our congregation in the 6 weeks that follow Easter Sunday, right up until his ascension. His ascension took place 40 days after Easter. So the season of the church year that we're in right now is the Easter season, so you're probably going to hear Easter hymns. You're probably going to hear Easter readings, or at least things that are related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now that answer might lead to another question. Why spend 6 Sundays celebrating Easter? Is it really that important? You know the answer. The answer is, of course, yes. Easter really is that important because the resurrection of Jesus is really that important. In fact, every Sunday is meant to be a little Easter. It's meant to be a celebration and a commemoration of the fact that Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. It's one of the reasons we worship on Sunday. So actually, the reading of a text from Easter Sunday or the singing of an Easter hymn on a Sunday would be not out of place on any Sunday. So why was the resurrection so important? Why celebrate Easter so much? Why was Jesus' resurrection so essential? Well, to answer that question, let's listen to Jesus' words. Let him answer that question for us and hear his very own words from our text. Verse 46. He said, "This is what is written, and so it must be. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day." Notice what he includes as essential along with his suffering and death. He includes the resurrection. That falls in the category of things he says must be. Again, why? Well, today let's continue our celebration of Easter by considering some of the reasons for the resurrection. First of all, in regard to Jesus. In regard to Jesus, his resurrection was essential because it proved his words and proved that all of God's words were true. If you are a note taker and if you're following along in the bulletin, you'll see I have those points listed for you, but I've left some blank lines. If you'd like to fill them in, you're more than welcome to. The first reason in regard to Jesus why his resurrection was so essential was because it proved his words and all of God's words to be true. Jesus explained in the first verse of our text, he said, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." So the resurrection validated all of his words about himself. His words that he claimed that he was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God, God himself. You might remember from previous sermons or from our Easter sermons and messages over even the season of Lent, that Jesus had predicted this and prophesied this to his disciples a number of times during his ministry, that he would suffer, that he would die a death by crucifixion, and that he would rise again the third day. We're even told in the Gospel of Mark that he spoke this word openly so that all would hear and believe his prophecy. He didn't hide his teachings. He didn't share things with his disciples in secret and then say, "Don't tell anybody." No, he actually was very open about his teachings. He didn't keep things a secret like his enemies would claim and some other false teachers would claim after his ascension into heaven. In fact, Jesus was so open about these words. Remember who else knew that Jesus had predicted he was going to rise again on the third day? His enemies knew it. Remember what the Pharisees said to Pilate after Jesus' death and burial. They came to him and said, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.'" Well, of course, Jesus did in fact rise after 3 days. And his resurrection then proved all of his words to be true. But notice Jesus also explained to his disciples that it wasn't just his words that he spoke to them while he was doing his ministry on this earth that were proved to be true. He explains to his disciples that the entire Old Testament scriptures had prophesied this about him as well. Again, look at the words that he speaks in the first verse of our text. He said to them, "Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses," that refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, the prophets, those are the Old Testament books written by the prophets, and the Psalms. Therefore, Jesus' resurrection validates all of God's words as well. All those Old Testament prophecies, all the words that Jesus spoke, they all are validated and proved to be true because Jesus rose from the dead. Secondly, in regard to Jesus, his resurrection was essential because it proved that Jesus was who he claimed to be. It proved that he was and is the Son of God. Jesus' resurrection not only proved all his words to be true, it proved once and for all that Jesus was exactly who he claimed he was. And he claimed to be true God. He claimed to be the Son of God himself. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that the resurrection was God's ultimate proof that Jesus was and is his Son. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "Jesus Christ our Lord was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." Let's make sure here that we don't skip over one more important verse from this text, and that verse is verse 45. It's an easy one to kind of just gloss over and kind of move past, but let's pause for a moment and look at that verse. In verse 45, we're told that Jesus opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. This very thing that Jesus did for his disciples, he will do for us when we read the Scriptures, the Bible. And we pray that he would do just that he would open our minds to understand the Scriptures, and that we would see how these reasons for the resurrection in regard to Jesus are also essential in regard to us. And remember and understand that for you and me personally, the resurrection is also essential. Jesus' resurrection assures us of some incredibly important things. Jesus' resurrection assures us, first of all, that our sins are forgiven. The Apostle Paul tells us that without the resurrection, our faith in Jesus would be useless. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." Why does Paul say this? How could Paul say this? Well, because Jesus shed blood on the cross. His death on the cross was the payment for our sins. But the resurrection was the proof that God had accepted Jesus' payment for our sins. It's the proof that our sins are, in fact, completely and fully forgiven. If there were no resurrection, if there were no living Savior, there would be no forgiveness. I've used this illustration before. It's not my own making. Many people have said this one, but people use this illustration and explain it this way. When you buy something, what is the proof that you bought it? What's the proof that you paid for it in full? It's the receipt, right? You get the receipt from the cashier after you buy something. So people have often used the death and blood of Jesus Christ to be the payment for sins, which it is, and the resurrection, they say, is like the receipt. The proof that God accepted the payment for sins and that all of our sins are paid in full. So Jesus' resurrection assures us that our sins are forgiven, but it also assures us of a very important fact as well. His resurrection proves and assures us that we too will be resurrected on the last day. Since Jesus rose from the dead, it guarantees that we too will rise. Don't take my word for it. You can hear Jesus' very own words himself. Jesus says in John 14, "Because I live, you will live also." He also says these familiar words about the resurrection. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And I hope and pray, and I am thankful that by God's grace, we do. We do believe this. Jesus' resurrection is the foundation of our faith and our sure and certain promise of heaven. Jesus reminds us in our text of one more essential thing regarding the resurrection and its meaning for us. What did he list as some of the things that must be in our text? He talks about things that must be in verse 46. Well, he also lists something in verse 47. Look again at that verse and hear what he says. He says, "And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." The preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins to all the nations, to all the world, is part of the things that Jesus says must be. Let's remind ourselves today that these words of Jesus to his disciples are also words of Jesus to us. We've once again been reminded of all that has been made ours through the resurrection of Jesus. That incredible news of forgiveness and eternal life through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. What are we going to do with that good news? Well, Jesus wants us to share it. He wants us to share this essential good news with others. And so our third and final essential reason for the resurrection is that it inspires us now to share the good news of salvation with others. Remember our first reading for this morning, how it inspired and moved Peter and John, who before the resurrection of Jesus were so confused by the resurrection, confused many times by what Jesus said, or very timid to speak up for his name. And yet, now that they knew and saw and witnessed the resurrection, they were bold proclaimers of Jesus and his resurrection, even before men who had put Jesus to death. And so Jesus reminds his disciples, and he reminds us in the last verse of our text, "You are witnesses of these things. Now, maybe not eyewitnesses in the same way that the apostles were, but you and I are witnesses of these things through the Scriptures, through the Bible. That sure and certain Word of God in both the Old and New Testament make us witnesses of what Jesus did and said, taught, His death, His resurrection. We are witnesses of these things. We are witnesses through faith in those inspired and sure words of God. And finally, one day we will be witnesses with our own eyes in heaven. As the Apostle John once put it, we shall see him as he is. And he's not talking there about seeing him with eyes of faith. He's talking about really seeing him with our own eyes in heaven, seeing him as he is. And so as we continue our celebration and commemoration of Easter, may we never tire of the message of Jesus' resurrection. May we never forget its essential importance or the reasons for the resurrection. Jesus died so that we would live. He lives again so that we would never die. He lives to be our living Savior. He lives that we would live for our living Savior and share this life-giving message with everyone. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Great. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue our worship service with our next hymn, This Joyful Eastertide, on page 8. Please rise. We bring special prayers to our Father's throne today for the nation of Israel and also for just our world and that region in general for protection and asking for the Lord's guidance and care over the people of that region. Are there any other special prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the God of peace, and you are the ruler of all the nations. We cry out to you for peace as we have seen and heard reports of yet another attack on Israel. We thank you for your protection and for the effective defense systems that spared Israel and its citizens during the attacks from Iran. We pray that you would bring an end to the attacks on the people of Israel and bring peace and stability back to that entire region. Restrain those who would do evil, and look with mercy on all the people who are affected and bring this time of conflict to a rapid end. Turn the fearful, anxious hearts of those who are affected by these attacks to you, dear Jesus, and lead them to see you as their Messiah, the Son of God and Savior, that you sent to give us eternal life. Let them find in you, dear Jesus, the Prince of Peace, true comfort, peace, and salvation. Remind all of us and all people everywhere that despite the wars and rumors of wars that we see in this region and around the world, you are still with us. You still rule over all things in heaven and on earth with your almighty power and according to your good and gracious will. Give wisdom and courage to Israel's leaders and to the leaders of our government that they would truly do what is right and best for the protection and blessing of the citizens you have entrusted to their care. Above all, dear Lord, we pray your will be done, knowing that you will truly do what is right and best for all you love, for all those you love, as you've promised. When you determine to restore peace, grant that what is just and right in your eyes will prevail. Dear Jesus, you are our crucified and risen Savior. You give us so many rich blessings. We rejoice that through the Holy Spirit you have called us to faith, clothing us with garments of salvation and arraying us in a robe of righteousness. We rejoice that you now live in us through the Holy Spirit, empowering us to do good works to your glory. We rejoice that our prayers are heard and answered at God's throne, where you intercede in our behalf. We rejoice that you are now preparing a place for us in heaven with you, and that you will soon come to raise the dead and take us to yourself. This hope fills our spirits, robs death of its sting, and helps us bear with patience the troubles that so often beset us. And when loneliness could easily turn into despair, we are reminded to rejoice instead, for we have your promises to be with us even to the end of the world. All these blessings and many more you give to us because you conquered sin and rose again. Dear Savior, for all of our sins, all of our sorrows, wants, and cares, you have prescribed the perfect remedy. You have invited us to come to you for rest. What joy, therefore, is ours in believing? May we never forfeit that joy because of our unbelief. Through the Holy Spirit, keep us fully committed to your word of truth, that by it our trust in you may deepen and our appreciation of your love may grow. Enable us also by the Spirit to serve you with a full Christian life. We joyfully praise your holy name, O blessed Savior and Lord, and we pray now in your name the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with our last hymn, At the Lamb's High Feast We Sing. We'll sing the verses printed in the bulletin. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed through the message of the resurrection that you've heard once again this morning. A few announcements for today. Those who would be interested in singing in the choir for our spring and early summer events, please meet here in the front of church after the service. We plan to sing for the confirmation service for Natalie and also for either Pentecost or Ascension Sunday. So please join us for choir if you'd like after the service today. I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship there at 1 p.m. and Bible study at 2 this afternoon. This week, Tuesday, our church council meets via Zoom at 7 p.m. Wednesday and Friday this week is confirmation classes with Natalie. Those are at 4 p.m. Then Thursday, I have Stockton Worship Service at Oakmont Senior Living at 2 p.m. Next Sunday, our Bible study is at 9 a.m., worship service at 10 a.m., so usual times for both of those. The Women's Auxiliary will be meeting for their luncheon, and that will be held at Barb Gulliard's residence after the service next Sunday. Speaking of the Women's Auxiliary, those who would like to join with the book club that's happening on the 28th, it'll be happening at the same time as the Crafting Bee. There is at least one more copy of the book available if you'd like to borrow it and use it for that book club, but it's in the Fellowship Hall. A note from St. Stephen Lutheran School, the Runathon fundraiser is coming up on Friday, April 26th from 11 a.m. to noon. The students do running and other athletic events to help raise money for some fun and important items for our school. In the past, it's been used to help pay for the new playground equipment in the back of church, some STEM kits, and even the new projectors in the classrooms. So if you'd like to donate or give to the fundraiser, there's some information in the bulletin, or you can speak with one of the staff members or students. Speaking of our students, there is some artwork displayed in the fellowship hall. We kind of half forced them to keep it here for one Sunday so that you could see their great works of art that they did this week. They made some birdhouses and decorated them. They are in the fellowship hall on the countertop. So if you'd like to look at them, please do so today, because we are going to allow them to take them home tomorrow. VBS registration is open. You can do so online. If you'd like to take some flyers with you, there are some in the entryway. If you know of families or people who would be interested, please take a flyer or two to them, or five. Take them with you and hand them out to people who may be interested in attending our Vacation Bible School. A reminder, we're also still in need of one delegate for the CLC convention this summer. Voters who are interested or want more information, you can feel free to speak with me. It takes place Thursday, June 20th through Sunday, June 23rd in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.